Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Cotton Story, sponsored by E3 Sustainable Cotton. I'm Jennifer Crumpler, Fiber Development Manager and manager of our E3 Sustainable Cotton program at BASF, and I'll be sort of semi today the host of today's program. So today, our program is the first in a series of podcasts we call Editors and Authors Talk About Textiles and Sustainability. You know, as our listeners know, typically, you know, we'll kind of ask some questions and have the conversations with our guests. But this series, we're really excited about it because we'll be able to introduce your listeners to the different editors and writers from major trade publications throughout the textile supply chain, as well as authors of books, and a very, very large group of very talented people. And as we all know, when we have editors and writers and those here, they, you know, always like to ask the questions. And so today's program and some of the other programs might go a little bit different, but I'm excited for our listeners to be part of this. And I'm also joined today by industry consultant Bob Anishak. So Bob, how everything going for you?
Jennifer, things are going well today. I'm very excited about this program. I think this will be a really great episode.
I do too. And I heard you kind of chuckle a few minutes ago, we were talking about, you know, changing things up a little bit today. And so, you know, with that, I'm very, very excited to introduce today's guest, Laura Husband, the new editor of the influential online textile and apparel publication, JustStyle.com. So, Laura, I can't thank you enough for being on here. It's great to meet you. And so before, though, I turn it over and let your journalism and everything else come out and your hosting duties start for today, I'd love to see if we can start with you telling our audience a little bit about yourself and your background.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer and Bob, for inviting me to be on your podcast today. It's a real pleasure to be here with you. And as you can probably tell by my accent, I'm not based in the US. I'm the new editor at Just Style a month into the role, and I'm actually based in the UK. I'm from London and live in the suburbs between Kent and London. And just to give you a little bit of a background about me, I've been a journalist and an editor for well over a decade now, but I am completely new to the apparel industry. So I know I have lots to learn, and I'm going to try and soak up as much information as I can from the both of you. For everyone that's tuning into this podcast as well. So if any of you wants to get in touch with me, please do reach out at laura.husband@just-style.com. And funnily enough, I actually started my journalism career straight out of uni at the company that now owns Just Style, which is called Global Data. And I worked across multiple titles that they had, which ranged from packaging and food and drink to pharmaceuticals and defense technology. And then I left the company, and I went on to get some experience on some print publications. And I worked across two publications that were focused on pharmacy, and the other one was focused on beauty retail. And then since then, I've edited a beauty retail magazine, and most recently, the UK's leading hairdressing publication, which is over 130 years old and is called Hairdressers Journal International. And at all of the various publications where I've worked, I've helped to organise award ceremonies and trade shows. So who knows, I might be able to put those skills to good use at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
At Just Style.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And I'm absolutely thrilled that you've invited me to be here today. And obviously, I'm quite new to the sector, but I'm keen to quiz Jennifer on some questions about BASF and the eCotton programme. So thank you very much for inviting me. And if you're happy, Jennifer, for me to do a bit of hosting and ask you some questions.
Yes, I think that would be great. And now I can see what it's like to be in the hot seat.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, brilliant. Well, maybe, Jennifer, it would just be great from my point of view, maybe for those tuning in as well, if you could just tell me a little bit about what you love most about working for BASF and the E3 Sustainable Cotton Programme.
Yeah. So, and I appreciate that. And again, appreciate you, Laura, being here. And so for me, the main thing I love the most, and this is, I think if anyone has ever listened to me talk about the program, about our E3 program and about the industry, I have a really, really big passion for agriculture, but more importantly, for helping consumers and others outside of this industry really understand it, and understanding what our farmers are doing and why they're doing it. You know, as our listeners know, I've spent my entire career in the ag production side with companies, you know, working with growers, helping for their inputs, their production practices. And just in the last, you know, year and a half, moved into this space in the textile and apparel space. And the one thing I found, Laura, was that everybody's passionate in the supply chain that I've talked to, whether it's our merchants, it's those at the, you know, spinners, our weavers, designers, all of it. But the interesting thing is I found that in this space, everybody works in silos and no one knew what the other one was doing. And everybody was working with cotton, but in a different way, in a different format. And so for me, I have loved the opportunity to be able to, you know, kind of connect all the points in the supply chain, bring some transparency. You know, we've held events where we've brought growers and we've brought trade media and we've brought designers and mills all together. So everybody can sit down at the table and have the conversation and the why. And, you know, for me, that's what I've loved so much about this conversation, you know, about this. And, you know, I think my biggest joy I get out of it is some of our downstream partners we've worked with at different brands and retailers, we've had, you know, to be able to come and bring them in and let them walk in a cotton field and see a cotton farmer for the first time in their career, you know, whether it's 5 years into their career or 30 years into the career, I've just really loved to see, you know, that those conversations being held and the understanding and education about, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it.
That's incredible, Jennifer. That really is. And it's funny you should say that. I went to visit my first textile factory last week, which was amazing. But I look forward to the day when I can go and visit my first cotton field and speak to cotton farmers. Maybe that's something we might be able to work together on, Jennifer.
Absolutely. So that was a great thing. You'll have to talk to Leonie before, you know, your former, who you came before you. She got to walk in her first cotton field with E3 and with me. So we will definitely put that on our list, Laura.
Keep the tradition going. Exactly. I'm sure the lady will be happy about that. That's fantastic. And I have to say, both you, Jennifer, and to you, Bob, what a fantastic initiative you both do with this podcast, The Modern Cotton Story. It's incredible. And I've been tuning into a few episodes myself, and it's a great way for me to get a feel for the industry as well, and I'm really enjoying them. But I was intrigued to ask you, Jennifer, what's the most insightful piece of advice or learning that you've personally received from hosting the podcast?
Yeah, so probably for me, it's kind of twofold, Laura. The one thing is this has really stretched me to get outside of what I typically would think about and what I've thought about my entire career. And Bob has been phenomenal. Bob has, you know, with the podcast and other things, has really kind of helped coach and guide and, you know, mentor me and just thinking differently. And that's what has been the biggest learning, is just learning to think differently.
I'm actually going to ask you the same question, Bob. It would be great to also get your take on having done the podcast episodes as well alongside Jennifer. What's the most insightful piece of advice or learning that you've received from doing it?
Well, thanks, Laura. You know, for me, I've really enjoyed the range of people that we've been able to invite on the program. It's been from farmers, folks who really understand the soil, understand what it takes to grow cotton, all the way through to, you know, large textile companies, retailers, apparel companies. And it's been, for me, and then on to people, you know, writers now and academics we've also interviewed. So to have a full range of the supply chain plus gives us this interesting library of experience that we all have now in terms of like showing what the industry is. For me, that's been most gratifying about the program.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm excited to see who you've got upcoming as well in future episodes.
Yes, that's correct.
And for a novice like me, what would you say makes the E3 Sustainable Cotton Program different from what else is on the market?
Yeah, so I'll answer this, and I really would be interested in Bob's answer too. Mm-hmm. For me, because I, like you are, you know, I'm still a novice. Like I said, I'm a year and a half into this role in the supply chain. But one thing I think I found that makes us different is that we lead with data. You know, a lot of times I'll ask some questions or I'll see things where cotton or certain types or different types of cotton are compared. And, you know, I always ask the question, okay, well, where did that come from? How did you make that comparison that one type is better than the other? And it's hard a lot of times to get data and see the data and understand the data. So for me, that's where E3 is very different in that we lead with data. We're very proud of our digital platform and the growers that we've worked with and our program that we've been able to build. And that data really leads to transparency, traceability, and to kind of be that, you know, solution or help be a solution provider for our downstream partners. And those, especially in, you know, ever-changing supply chain and what's happening in the past year and a half with COVID and other things, there's a lot of, you know, downstream partners and others in supply chain who are, you know, looking for answers, trying to change their practices and, you know, what they've maybe done. And that's been the really cool thing for me and rewarding to say, well, hey, you know, let's help and partner with you and provide that solution that, you know, will help really be sustainable. Yes. And environmental practices that our growers are doing, but even more so helping build sustainable business plans with our downstream partners.
Fantastic. And it'd be good to get your take on that as well, Bob.
Yes, thanks, Laura. One of the things that I find really interesting is that the E3 cotton program right now is U.S.-centric. In other words, it's for U.S. growers. And as you know, I also do consulting for Vidalia Mills in Louisiana. And one of the things that we've seen that has clicked well between the E3 program and Vidalia has been basically a message of, yes, made in USA, but it's really more a story about locally grown. And because it's locally grown, you don't have these extensive supply chains. You know, instead of it being supply chains of thousands of miles to get cotton shipped all around the world, for example, here in many cases, we're talking as little as 10 miles. Okay, so it's very regionalized. And in addition to that, because of the various tools that E3 has in place, we can actually measure in terms of how the cotton was grown, where it was grown, you know, how much water was used, how many inputs were used, basically how the soil health is, things like that, which customers ask about, you know, because they like Vidalia Mills' denim and so forth in their yard in particular. You know, how they often ask us questions, and we're able to through Jennifer's help, be able to answer that.
That's incredible, isn't it? And it shows how far we've come as well as an industry.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you can give consumers all of those answers.
Yeah. And the other, we can give them the answers. And then I think the other thing is that we can maybe help explain even more and educate why the answers are what they are. So why, you know, cotton grown in certain parts of the U.S. You know, we did a series recently, Farmer Friday, where we interviewed growers from different regions of the U.S. Who have and faced completely different pressures on their production practices. And I think that's the really, you know, the other big piece of it is that, you know, that there's always a pillar of sustainability about the people. And I think that, you know, we try to really hard to bring a face to cotton. So, you know, cotton, whether it's grown in Arizona by Brian Rhodes, one of our growers who was a former investment banker on Wall Street, or it's grown by, you know, Sledge Taylor or John Branton, who are multi-generational farmers in different parts of the U.S. I think that's the great thing is also is really kind of telling that story and putting that face of cotton, you know, behind what's happening and what, you know, the inputs into your clothes or your home goods, whatever it may be.
Definitely, Jennifer. And clearly, you know, you've been working on this program for a long time and it's working and it's paying off. I mean, what is next for the BASF and the E3 Sustainable Cotton Program?
Yeah, I think that for us, Laura, we really just want to continue to strive to bring value back to our growers. We know that the industry, there is a desire from consumers. We're seeing the, you know, recently in the farm to table movement, we're seeing that movement really move into this space as well. So, you know, the farm to fashion or farm, you know, that space. And so what our goal and our strategy is to identify and work with partners downstream to help bring the value back to our growers. And when I say that, what I mean by that is, you know, we've talked about sustainability, your three pillars. It's about environmental, it's about the people part of us, that social part of it, but there's also an economical part. And I think that's where we really in the next 5 years want to strive to work to kind of build that transparent supply chain so that our farmers are getting value and receiving that premium for the practices and the things that they're doing that, you know, the consumers are willing to pay that premium for. How do we bring some of that premium back to our farmers? And that's a big goal of ours. And really, you know, another big goal is just really to continue on our digitalization platform and pushing out the data and the why, and just being kind of that leader in the space where we have been for transparency and traceability for all supply chain. So we can really show, hey, like we've said, we've proven it can be done. And that's where we're excited to continue those efforts in the future.
Fantastic. And then my next question is for both of you. What would each of you like to achieve in the next 5 years?
Bob, I'll let you answer that one. <laughs> 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 You know, because I think, Bob, I don't know, you plan on retiring anytime? I don't think so.
No, you can't, Bob.
No, I can't.
He's going to be here for a while.
I will be here for a while. I think one of the things that's important to me personally is I started my career when there was a very, very large U.S. textile industry. And through globalization, economics, politics, a lot of reasons, that industry moved offshore. And along with that, of course, the cotton industry, in effect, had to move with it. I mean, of course, you can't move fields, but but cotton had to be shipped all around the world in order to be able to meet the needs of mills that were built up over the years. What we're seeing over the last couple of years, and it's been accelerated, I think, to some degree since the pandemic, has been a return, if not to the U.S. wholly, but definitely in this region, where there's a return of some expanded sourcing and new manufacturing, and there are new investment opportunities. And along with that, it helps to bring our farm base back into the U.S. or at least into the Western Hemisphere in terms of where its focus are. For me, that's something that is personally gratifying. Like we've gone kind of, or we're going kind of full circle, and I'm really dating myself, but it really, you know, for me that's an important goal.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, So Laura, I grew up in a, you know, southern part of the U.S. and in a farming town, but then also it was a textile town. We had three textile mills there, three Burlington mills. Used to have a big three mills in my town. And then they all went away. You know, they all left in the 90s. And that's where, you know, some of the things Bob was talking about. And, you know, that's one of the reasons my passion is driving what we're doing in the U.S. with the farming piece of it. But then also, you know, we are seeing some reshoring back to the U.S. But the other exciting thing for me, you know, one of my personal goals, which has been great, is globally be able to help the mills in on a global basis understand and help provide them and educate and understand them and that transparency and piece of it and sustainability metrics. So maybe we can help, you know, those countries, other countries globally stabilize it around the mills and what the business is doing. And then here in the U.S., you know, it goes back to making sure our U.S. growers are seeing the value for what they're doing and get that back to them. And, you know, just continue, as you know, said earlier, just building that face of what our growers are and helping, you know, tell that story even more.
Brilliant. That must be lovely to see, actually, the way things are going full circle again now.
Yes, it is. It's really unique and interesting. I know when Bob, I guess, what, 2 years ago when Vidalia kind of came on, everybody thought we were crazy. And yeah, we started working with you guys. And but then it's been like, oh, wait, maybe they are a little crazy, but maybe they're on to something here. They still think we're crazy, but.
Yeah, we're definitely crazy. That's for sure. we've proven that. So.
Definitely. And obviously with the craziness of the pandemic as well, the shorter supply chains, there's got to be benefits to that as well, hasn't there?
Definitely.
Yeah, there is. And you know, and it's been when you also, we've had a couple of economists and others who've been on the show, and it's really interesting for years. You know, you think about cotton, it's not like there's been a whole lot of exciting things to take into consideration. But when we look at the past year and a half, cotton's really, last year and a half, 2 years, has really moved to the forefront and has had a lot of external factors, whether it's, you know, shipping, logistics, whether it's whatever it is, you know, government policy, trade, weather conditions. Last year in the U.S., we had, I think it was over, you know, 13 or 15 different hurricanes hit our cotton growing states or more. And it's just been a very interesting time in the past year and a half, 2 years, and to see, you know, the industry survive and rebound and then come back better and stronger, that's what's been exciting and kept me with the passion that I have, you know, to help what little part I can do to help it move better and get, you know, be stronger at the end of it.
That's brilliant. And you mentioned there about the weather and the craziness of the weather, Jennifer, and I guess we should mention the author earthquake that's just happened in Haiti. Do you and BASF work with cotton farmers in Haiti, and what are your thoughts on how this earthquake could potentially affect the supply chain in both the short term and the long term?
Yeah, and you know, we do not have cotton production in Haiti. It's really interesting. So as listeners know, I spent a lot of time on a sailboat down in different parts of the islands, and I'm always amazed, and I always take pictures, and I love it, and all the different islands we've been to see wild cotton growing. But we don't have, you know, facility in Haiti, but you know, you can look right over to the other island in Puerto Rico and other places that we do have production. And I think for us, you know, I think that's a perfect example, though, even though we're not in Haiti, it's a perfect example globally how weather and those different things with climate and other things can and do affect you know, the businesses and some of those supply chains. And so for us, if that would have been, you know, an island or so down in Puerto Rico, that could have had a large impact on our next year's crops and breeding and production, what we could bring to the U.S. to have breeding for our growers here or even globally, because that's where we have a lot of cotton farms and acres in Puerto Rico. And so I think it just highlights even more, you know, that needing to figure out and being agile in this market to, okay, hey, how do we prepare for the next crisis or the next thing that happens, and just how vulnerable we can be.
Definitely. Did you have anything to add to that, Bob?
Well, I think, yeah, it's unfortunate what happened in Haiti. I mean, they had all those political problems, and then you get on top of it, you know, an earthquake of that magnitude. I mean, the poor country is, well, literally the poorest country in this hemisphere. Yeah. And again, it is reliant upon basic textile, basic clothing production, things like t-shirts. Yeah. And so a lot of that, of course, has been disrupted. And it's just, it takes a very difficult situation and makes it that much harder. So it really is a, we have the humanitarian crisis, but at a higher level, of course, we have the overall economic impact, which is just, I think it's hard. And it's, again, taking a very difficult situation and made it that much worse.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Bob, it's, you know, you mentioned a lot of those things, and I've been to Haiti, and I've, you know, been to Port-au-Prince and been out to other parts of Haiti. And I think it's hard, you know, and unless you, you know, our listeners, you know, we talk about it, but unless in some of these things you've been there and seen it, and experienced it, you know, I think it hits a little bit harder, just knowing and having been there and seen, you know, the people. And like you were saying, it took a bad situation and just made it worse.
Definitely. And it shows the importance, doesn't it, of looking after the people within the industry as much as anything else, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, because I think, you know, we forget, and you know, the normal consumer, just like sometimes, you know, our food doesn't come from a grocery store, you know, it's, you know, and just like with, you know, this, your clothes don't come from the, they might, your jeans or something you buy them at the store or buy them online, but there's a whole lot of people that have touched that cotton that went into it. And everybody has that story, whether it's the workers at the, you know, this who are working spinning, or the weavers, the people, you know, the cut and sew. Everybody, it's so interesting to me. And that's been a big thing I've loved about this, is just learning everybody's story in that supply chain, because it really does humanize it and, you know, tells a completely different side of what it took to get, you know, that your favorite pair of jeans to market.
Definitely. And, you know, funnily enough, obviously, coming from outside of the apparel industry, most of my knowledge around cotton and apparel, it all comes from being that end consumer. So do you feel there has been a breakthrough in consumers knowing and understanding the importance of these issues around sustainability, especially specifically for cotton?
I do. I think so, Laura, because I think when the pandemic hit, I think we were starting to see some transition, and we started hearing the word sustainability with consumers. You know, I think farmers in the ag space are some of the most sustainable, best stewards of the land people. And because, you know, they're, many of them have been there generation after generation, and they want to leave the land better, you know, for the next generation, their children, their raising family. And I think what we've seen, though, is we've seen a change in population of where people are living. So people are moving out of the cities, and they're moving to more rural places, and they're starting to see, oh, okay, what's happening. I think, you know, from the most recent series we did, we talked to a lot of the professors at the different universities, and it was so encouraging to hear, you know, the conversations and the new values and the things coming from this, you know, the new generation that's coming through university that's going to be leading us in the future. And so I think we are seeing that. Social media, you can get everything at your fingertip, and people are starting to ask the question, why were some things allowed to happen for so long? And there was no accountability, responsibility, or change in business practices. And I think we're starting to see a lot of that happen now, and just be, you know, expedited quicker.
Most definitely. I mean, do you have any plans, or are you already trying to raise that awareness about sustainable cotton with consumers? And how do you think we can change consumer behaviors in the future?
Yeah, so we, there's a lot of things we're doing. One of the things is we're excited to partner with different brands and retailers who, you know, have set sustainability goals and help them meet those goals with the cotton they're procuring throughout the supply chain. So that's been exciting. We're, you know, raise that awareness with branding and marketing of the cotton to help understand, okay, what is the difference in, you know, this cotton versus this type of cotton? Or, hey, you know, maybe cotton gets the bad name of being a thirsty crop. Well, here's, you know, actually some updated information on it. So we're doing a lot of that. We're working with different community groups, and we've partnered. We've got what we call our E3 learning series. One of them was where we looked at the life cycle of a t-shirt. So we actually encourage consumers, and we're running, you know, kind of running some of this now on social media, and it's really cool. We've encouraged consumers, you know, take a 100% cotton t-shirt, plant it in the yard, and dig it up in 2, 3, 4 months and see how it's biodegradable. It's better for the environment. It's more sustainable. And compare that to if you were to plant a plastic water bottle or some other type of synthetic clothing, and just look at, you know, the difference of what's happening. So if that one of the two ends up in the landfill, you know, here's the difference. One's going to break down very quickly, and one will take a year, hundreds of years to break down. So we're really trying to, you know, touch different areas and just kind of help just that educational piece that I think maybe has been lacking some in the space. And then, you know, a big piece of it too, Laura, is just really be proactive in having conversations versus reactive to maybe something that happens, and proactively trying to change, you know, approaches to markets, or, you know, approaches to education, and just different things than maybe what's traditionally been the standard in the industry.
That's brilliant. And Bob, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I just think, you know, again, I agree with Jennifer. It's kind of neat to be able to demonstrate for brands and retailers, as well as consumers, really, how a cotton can be traceable, truly traceable, and along with it, have the hard data and metrics behind it. And then even have, like Jennifer's, it's sort of like a mini landfill project.
Yeah.
And it works. It's amazing. It's like after 3 or 4 months, you see the shirts have virtually disintegrated.
That is just incredible, isn't it? It feels like a fun experiment to do.
Yeah. It is. It's so simple.
To have a play with it. Yeah.
It's so simple. That's what makes it so effective. And again, you know, consumers have been asking for it. And I think, you know, we've all heard through the supply chain the desire on the part of customers to understand more, particularly younger consumers. Older folks like myself, you know, we're different generation, different attitudes towards consumerism. But younger consumers are asking how and why and where, you know, where does it come from? How does it, why is it the way it is? You know, and as you know, Laura, there were some really terrific books written lately that have really, really gone to town on how the industry has grown up over the last 30, 40 years. And the industry now is kind of coming back and saying, okay, well, maybe we overdid it a little bit, or I should say parts of the industry are asking that question. Maybe we overdid it a little bit. And now they're trying to think through what are the logical, good, meaningful solutions that's not just empty marketing. And I think that's one of the things about E3 that's neat is that there's hard data behind it, lots of it.
Definitely. And please do read, for those tuning in, read Bob's latest column, because you talk about some of those books that have recently launched, don't you, Bob?
Definitely. And by the way, one of the books, Unraveled by Maxime Bada, made the FT short, not the short list, the long list of business books. I just saw. So, which is really exciting because she has the potential from there. She can really leapfrog with that. It's a really, really top-notch book. So
definitely. Yeah, please do read Bob's column on Just Style about these two books. I definitely, when I finished reading it, I thought, right, I've got to get these books and give them a read myself.
Yeah, they're really good. They're really good. And R.B. McKinnon wrote a book, and basically it's sort of like, hey, can we wind back consumerism? Yeah, that's a tough question. So when you put the two together, where you have one book that analyzes the supply chain and then also the ultimate consumer, it's kind of an interesting story. It's kind of it's definitely a holistic story between the two books and the importance of sustainability and, you know, environmental stewardship.
Yeah. And Bob, I know you do write a monthly column for Just Style. And so I know you're excited about working with Laura and, you know, the future of that.
Yes, definitely. And Laura's been making a lot of changes to Just Style. So I have a very simple question. Am I still employed, Laura?
Absolutely, Bob. Everybody loves you. I think I'd have a travesty on my hands if we were going to change that.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I feel very encouraged.
I'm learning a lot from reading your columns as well. Like I've just mentioned there, the books that Bob recommended. If you don't have time to read them, Bob's done a good summary as well. So you could, there's a bit of a shortcut there.
Yeah, there is, yeah. But again, Laura, you've done a great job. New format, new approach, I think, editorially.
Thank you very much.
Publication's really coming around. Yeah.
Well, I think, to be honest, as I am new to Just Style, I want to sort of be influenced by what the readers and the subscribers and what the industry want to see from us, if you see what I mean. So I'd be intrigued to hear from both Bob and Jennifer as to what you would like to see from Just Style in the short term and the long term as well.
Jennifer, what do you think? You want to take that?
Yeah. You know, I think, Laura, this is kind of that, to me, this is the first step. I think the great thing is you guys have a phenomenal audience, very well respected. And I think, you know, your readers and your audience, from our standpoint, you know, it's just how do we explain cotton or explain other crop, you know, agriculture that goes into the textile and apparel space. You know, I'm focused on cotton, but we also, at BASF, we have, you know, other crops and other things that touch in the ag space. And so, you know, I think it would be just great of how we can help you and your readers and, you know, understand and help answer the questions that they maybe have and help clarify. Because I think, you know, unfortunately in the industry, in some places in marketing, you know, it's, there's a fear factor in some stuff when it comes to agriculture versus, you know, really science and data and education. Mm-hmm. And so from out, you know, our perspective, it's just really, how do we help, you know, tell the truthful story that's not a marketing story or a greenwashing story, but help really educate your consumers, educate consumers on what agriculture is really doing.
Definitely. And that's fascinating, actually, Jennifer, because from my point of view, obviously, I am a novice, but maybe it would be easy for me to assume that everyone in the industry doesn't already know everything. But yeah, maybe they don't. Maybe they only know their part, their little bubble, and not what's going on, like you say, on the agricultural side with cotton, if they're working in a completely different end of the supply chain.
Yeah, because that's been the one thing that I felt really, you know, surprising to me, because from my side, working, you know, from the input side, the way I approached cotton was, hey, I've got a sales budget, I got a budget to hit. Let me sell my growers or my farmers cotton, and or whatever that input is, and that's great. We picked it, harvested it, yielded good. They're happy. They're going to buy again. Let's work on next year's crop. And I never thought about, wait, that cotton goes somewhere after it leaves the field, and it goes to the gin, and then it goes, you know, there. And so that's where it's really, it's even for me, the past year and a half is stretching myself to say, okay, hey, there's other things outside, and how do we help, you know, like you said, bring that understanding of each piece of it to the other parts.
Definitely. And I'm, as I said a little bit earlier, Jennifer, I'm really open to hearing from the industry and from our audience as to what you guys would like to see at Just Style, to make sure we are giving you the content that you need. And, you know, maybe we don't want to assume a certain level, because everyone is at different levels, or, you know, somebody might have just entered the industry, a bit like me, coming in from scratch, and needs that more kind of back to basics introduction.
Absolutely. And, you know, Laura, I could talk to you for hours and hours, and I have loved the conversation, but I think we are about out of time. And so, you know, I would like to know, how do our listeners, because like I've said, we, you know, listen to it globally in many different countries, trending and business marketing and other spaces. How can our listeners, if they do want to connect or, you know, kind of help tell that, you know, what is the best way? Is it on social media? Is it, you know, but what is the best way to reach out to you or to understand and learn more about Just Style?
Definitely. Well, first of all, I know we're running out of time, so I'll just give you a little quick one-line summary as to what Just Style is about, just in case you're tuning in and you're not quite sure. But the aim of Just Style is to be a must-read resource for anyone working within the apparel industry at any point within the supply chain. So we sort of address the apparel and textile industry major challenges along the supply chain from farmer to manufacturer to retail and beyond, with full circularity, and obviously going beyond that retail sale to the consumer as well. So please do check us out and sign up for the daily newsletter and the weekly newsletter, which are completely free, and you'll get a real feel for the industry. But if you'd like to contact myself and the team directly, which we would be absolutely thrilled if you would do that, my personal email address is laura.husband@globaldata.com. And I'm greedy and I have a second one as well. So I also have laura.husband@just-style.com. And you can reach all of the team, the Just Style team. It's not just myself. We've got Michelle, Beth and Hannah, who put together the content at juststyle.com. And we can all be reached at newsdesk@just-style.com. And you can follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook as well. There's plenty of ways to get in touch with us.
Well, that is wonderful. And Laura, thank you again. I know we've got to go, but just so in case our listeners, you know, COVID has affected us in a lot of ways. And for Laura, we're excited to have you on here. Appreciate you taking time, because you, I think, what is it, your fourth time rescheduling your upcoming nuptials and wedding?
Fourth, I don't think fourth time lucky is a thing, but I'm hoping it will be.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be, and I know it'll be beautiful and a wonderful time. So again, Laura, thanks for being on. And I would also like to thank you, our listeners, for joining us and hope you enjoyed our show. Should you have any questions about the E3 Sustainable Cotton Program, please email me at e3cotton@basf.com. Also, don't forget to visit us on Instagram and Facebook at E3 Sustainable Cotton. Thanks so much and see you next time.